There are at least three main allegations levied against the Bush administration. The first allegation is that the Bush administration, beginning in 2002, sidestepped the FISA court in order to engage in widespread electronic surveillance of Americans and foreigners without warrants from any court, including FISA magistrates. The FISA court was established in 1978 following the Nixon Watergate scandal of warrantless spying on American citizens. In December 2005, George W. Bush admitted the existence of such a program, but counter-argued that this type of surveillance was included in the congressional sanction afforded the president to fight the so-called war on terror. Last week on 60 Minutes, the former chief of the CIA's Europe Division, Tyler Drumheller, revealed that in the fall of 2002, President Bush, Vice President Cheney, and then National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice and others were told by CIA Director George Tenet that Iraq's foreign minister had reported that Iraq had no active weapons of mass destruction program. There has been quite a bit of testimony from reliable witnesses that George W. Bush justified the war in Iraq by producing false and misleading statements designed to deceive the people of the United States of America as well as Congress into the pursuing of the occupation of Iraq. On April 5th, 2006, Amnesty International published a report confirming the U.S. practice of rendition, secretly sending prisoners of war to other countries and to Guantanamo for the purpose of torturing them and for the purpose of bypassing judicial process. President Bush has been accused of allowing his administration to condone and practice interrogation through torture, failing to investigate and prosecute high-level officials responsible for torture, and refusing to accept the binding nature of a statutory ban on cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment of war prisoners. These are the most common allegations levied against Bush. Do you think that each of these is in fact an impeachable offense? Are there other offenses not mentioned in the foregoing allegations? And let's begin with Elizabeth.
Yes,
my... Is not mentioned in the foregoing allegations, and let's begin with Elizabeth.
Yes, Mike, I think each of them is grounds for impeachment. And to choose one or the other, it's kind of like deciding to choose between which is better, cancer or leprosy or heart attack. They are all horrendous. And each one of them is pretty much flat out easily provable as a federal crime. And there are many other crimes that have been committed by the Bush administration, but I'll let other panelists answer your first question. We'd be here all night if I went on with it.
As you will, just jump in, folks. You all have live microphones. The question, if you want to hear the question again, if you want to comment on this, do you believe that these, each or all of these, are in fact impeachable offenses, and are there any other offenses mentioned that you think should be included? Bob?
Well, I think going into debate with an earpiece is an impeachable offense, but that may just be me.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
Stealing two elections, I think, is impeachable.
Yeah.
Trading Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, that's...
I'll leave it at that.
That's probably the worst one. Congressman Waters.
Well, first of all, let me just say thank you for the kind introduction, but you failed to mention my most important work. I'm the chair of the Out of Iraq Caucus of the Congress of the United
right.
States.
I'll accept. And, I stand corrected,
okay.
Or I sit corrected.
All right. Know. And let me just say that I was a member of Congress, and I experienced the attempt by the opposite side of the aisle to impeach President Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
President Clinton's impeachment was attempted because of the affair, supposedly, with Monica Lewinsky. And if, in fact, they could bring together articles of impeachment against the President of the United States because of infidelity, certainly we must understand that that pales in comparison to what
yes.
This President has
yes.
done.
Yeah.
To begin with, I never believed, and I argued against that attempt for impeachment because I did not think it was an impeachable offense. I did not think it was high crimes and misdemeanors. But I understand very well that every subject that you have touched upon this evening certainly qualifies, in my estimation, for impeachment, that they are indeed high crimes and misdemeanors. And let me just say, when we talk about what has happened in this country following 9/11 and the fact that the president has fashioned this phony war on terrorism because people were frightened, because people were basically very, very upset and frightened by what happened in 9/11, they've been taken advantage of. And because of that, he has created this immoral war that we are spending billions of dollars on. And if nothing else but that, he should be impeached.
I hear you. Shayana, would you like to add to that?
Sure. Well, I guess I should add the lawyer's perspective. You know, even on the narrow sort of the most narrow interpretation of the impeachment power, everything here is an impeachable offense. We try to lay the case out in our recent book, Articles of Impeachment of George W. Bush. But thank you. It's the last plug of the night. Thanks. But, you know, not every crime is necessarily an impeachable offense. It's always been thought that that a crime has to somehow threaten the structure of government, that either, you know, it should be a, you know, some sort of offense against the separation of powers or something that would subvert democracy. And everything that you've mentioned is right along those lines. And that's why, in fact, there are dead-on historical precedents for all of these things as impeachable offenses. So, for instance, with the wiretapping, the second article of impeachment against President Nixon talked about how he had used warrantless wiretapping and taken advantage of the intelligence agencies for his own personal gain for purposes, as it said, unrelated to national security. And I think we're going to see that when the truth about the wiretapping program comes out. We don't really have a lot of facts about it, but I suspect that it's not targeted at terrorists, that in fact it's something much more experimental along the lines of total information awareness, a kind of data mining program that is really aimed at listening in on telephone calls of everyone in the society. Then in terms of the Iraq War, you know, one of the founders, one of the people who wrote the Constitution, James Ardell, who was later on the Supreme Court, said that giving false information to the Senate was clearly an impeachable offense. And this is one of the people who wrote the impeachment clauses in the Constitution. And that's clearly something, this sort of conveying of false information about ties to al-Qaeda, about weapons of mass destruction, when the president knew it was untrue. And especially in our modern era, where the president has kind of a monopoly on intelligence gathering, where the CIA reports basically directly to the president, it's imperative to, you know, sort of maintain a working democracy, to have the president report honestly to the Senate, to the House, and to the American people about what the intelligence agencies have told him. So the lies around Iraq, notwithstanding that it's also a war of aggression, a violation of international law, the lying to the American public and to the Congress, that's an impeachable offense clearly also. And then, of course, sending people to distant areas to prevent them from being able to access the federal courts. This is something that was the subject of an impeachment in 1660 of Lord Clarendon in England. So clearly, again, something that is definitely squarely within the impeachment power. As to other things, other than what you've mentioned, I think Plamegate is probably the leading candidate right now.
I think
for
so.
Something.
Paul?
Well, it's interesting. I'm still getting used to the fact that I've introduced this resolution.
You know, you really don't have to say anything other than that. We're happy.
Well, give me a minute. I've actually thought for several years that Bush and Cheney should be impeached. It just only occurred to me a few weeks ago that it might need to be initiated by me. There are a couple events that are just burned into my head that I have been thinking about for a long time that led me to this. One was an interview that I heard the night before we began the war in Iraq. And it was by one of the top weapons inspectors. I don't remember the name. And he was talking about how Saddam had chemical and biological weapons in large numbers, but they were all worthless. They all had a lifespan that had been exceeded. And so these weapons were essentially mush, and that they had been searching, and there was nothing else there. So we were about to begin a war under completely false pretenses. And I was just thinking to myself, my God, this son of a bitch is going to kill thousands of people and do something so dramatic and so outrageous, and he's violating the Constitution, and he's doing it with impunity, and he's getting away with it. That was something I've never forgotten, and it certainly has proven to be completely true. The other thing is, I have a college friend of mine named Russell Baker, who is a freelance writer on the East Coast, and he did an interview. And he's not the famous Russell Baker. He's the less famous Russell Baker. He's another journalist. He did an interview with the ghostwriter for the biography of Bush Jr. that was supposed to be written in 1999. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he was a dear friend and still is of Bush Sr. And he was commissioned to write the biography. He didn't write it, ultimately, because the work he wrote was not favorable enough to George W., even though it was his words put into a book. One of the things he told Russell was in the book that never got published was a conversation about war and about the fact that when he got elected, he intended to start a little war that he could win quickly and easily, because that's how someone has a successful presidency. And so this was that war. And it worked almost perfectly. We won that war very quickly. Just once it was over, it didn't quite go as planned. This was the little war that he expected. There was no exit strategy. There was no plan for any difficulty. This was just supposed to be a big political victory for him. And I think that's the heart of this impeachment. And we had other things that were listed, most of the things that have been mentioned thus far, and we added to it the federalizing of the National Guard and that impact on California. One of the many ways that Bush and Cheney have just run roughshod over their constitutional authority and exceeded it so dramatically. But I thought creating a phony war that turned out to destabilize a country, perhaps destabilize that whole region, and even perhaps the world political situation, because he had his agenda. He wanted this little war so he would look good and he would have a great presidency. If that isn't impeachable, I don't know what is. And I kept waiting for someone to submit an impeachment resolution like this in Congress. And I saw things on all the websites and things going back and forth and seeing Democratic Party committees doing it. And I kept looking and saying, my God, no one's doing it. We all know a legislature can do this, and no one's doing it. So a couple weeks ago or so, I told my staff that I wanted to put together a resolution to impeach the President of the United States and the Vice President. And most of my staff kind of told me I was crazy. My wife definitely told me that. And I didn't really need this. I have a reputation for doing some edgy bills already. And this year, I had already done an effort to place a moratorium on the death penalty. And I thought that was going to be I thought that was controversy enough. I said, all right, this needs to be done. I've decided we're going to do it. Let's put this together quickly, and let's introduce it. And much to my surprise, I introduced it on a Friday. On Saturday, I got an email with an article from my friend, aforementioned friend Russell Baker, saying that Illinois had done the same thing. And so I said, this is exciting. And I said, well, they're getting some press about it. Nobody knows that I've done this, so maybe I should do a press release, which we did over the weekend. And we have since been bombarded with emails and phone calls and letters, and it has just been wonderful. Everybody is very excited. This seems to have a groundswell of support. I mean, just the fact that I'm here with a theater full of people on this subject is kind of a shock to me.
So, two down, 48 to go. California, yes. Illinois, and I believe Vermont is very close. So, three down, 47 to go. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.